back to the Final Whistle podcast.
Time you run!
July 29, Fifey and Dale are back, the Final Whistle, with another podcast. How are we, Fifey?
Living the dream. Just wish the councils will open the bloody grounds up and let us play.
Yeah, they're probably just keeping them closed so they don't get ruined early on in the season.
Get ruined, mate. You should have checked out Sunday. Doug Renewfield, mate, was a mud pit. It was good to see wet weather footy back, that's for sure. Doug Rennie, Penrith Waratahs, it was a mud pit. Mate, we'll get into that a bit later on in around the grounds, but it was a mud pit.
Week is a long time of football. Hot off the press, David Fifita, 1.25 a year over 3 years to the Gold Coast Titans. Mal Meninga broke it just before the first game on Saturday. It wasn't so much about Sonny Bill going to the Warriors. It was all about David Fifita. Thoughts on this, Fifey?
So we have a player who has yet, right? Just try to stay with me. A player that has not fully yet reached his potential. So obviously, you know, speaking about overs, you got to pay overs to get players to your club if your club is shit. Let's face it, Titans are shit at the moment and have been for a couple of years. So to pay overs for a player who is yet to show any kind of full signs of potential, he's shown bits and pieces here and there, not 100% in every game. And then we have the highest paid player in rugby league history on a $5 million a year deal coming to the Roosters for $150,000. Verlandis, it's time to blow that stupid salary cap up if that's the way we're going to go. And by all means, all the Rooster supporters will be backing it, going, yes, 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 yeah, we're angry with our club. Theoretically, it's bullshit. You should be paying more for a player who is the highest paid rugby league player in the world. The way the Roosters will probably do it is saying, oh, we're paying him per game because he's going to play four games and possibly a few semis. I hope he comes over and he does good, but a little bit of me would be hoping that he gets a small injury in his old body there and misses that extra three or four games that they've got him over here for. And, yeah, it'll be a bit of a wasted money. But, mate, that's the salary cap. You're paying some kid who hasn't debuted at Origin, hasn't played any international football, $1.25 million, and then someone who has done everything in the game. New Zealand, Premiership, done the dirty and went over to Union. You know,
won a World Cup,
and here he is coming back for $150,000 when he's getting paid $5 million to play Super League. Where is the equality? Where is the rationale from Mr. Verlandis? Where is all this? It's stupid. It is utterly stupid.
We'll soon find out.
Wonder how many brown bags Nicky's got for him.
I heard it was 400, but everyone's saying it's 150. So we'll see what happens, how he gets paid. But he arrives tomorrow, so we'll see how he goes. He's still got to go through that ISO 2 weeks. Everyone's saying, oh, he should have went to the Warriors. Yeah, he probably should have went to the Warriors. But he, like he said, he was ever going to come back, he was going to go back to Robbo. How fitting would it be? Get a 3-peat SBW. They'll make a movie on it like MJ. Anyway, so
it's bullshit.
We'll move on. Fifey's a bit angry.
it's bullshit.
He'll get angry again when I bring up this as well. The Warriors, they've sacked Kearney and they don't want the Walker brothers and they don't want Jeff Toovey. They don't meet their criteria.
Yeah, but their criteria a week ago was they want someone with personality. Jeff Toovey is the most personality-driven guy in the game of rugby league. Who sits there at an interview and goes, there needs to be an investigation in this. Well, there needs to be an investigation in the Warriors CEO for saying that he got rid of Steve Kearney because he had no fucking personality. And then you got fucking Jeff Toovey, who is the other end of personality town to Stephen Kearney, and they go, nah, he's not fitting our criteria. Are you fucking serious, you dumb idiot? He is going to be good for the Warriors. He's what the Warriors need.
heart and soul, mate. He's always turning up for that jersey.
He wears his heart on his sleeve, yet he's got a great football brain. He's got an awesome brain in general, who's an accountant, who's, you know, he's smart. I don't get it. I don't get it. And then they go and knock the Walker brothers back, who have a playbook that not many NRL sides have used. Ipswich has had them there for a bit, where a bit of success was there.
Well, the six again rule would have been suited. So I actually read today that in their interview, they also had their 5-year plan for the Warriors of who goes, who comes in, how they want to play, where they want to finish up in the first season, so to speak. So if you're telling me that doesn't meet your criteria, I feel so sorry for their third choice person that they've interviewed that they're going to go with.
No, I don't seriously think that the person that they're looking at interviewing next or wanting is going to go from sunny North Queensland to drib, miserable, rain, cold New Zealand in the middle of the winter. They're looking to go on to Paul Green or keeping Toddy Payton on. Look, if your choices are down to Todd Payton or Paul Green, I'd pick Todd Payton because he's been there for a bit. In terms of players that have got to go, Adam Blair's the first one to go. Mate, who else would you get rid of? I'd probably get rid of Blake Ashford. He's backup as best.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead wood there.
I'd keep Blake Green.
Yeah, but the Warriors they don't want to associate themselves with that play agent. What's his name?
Moses. He's gone. That's the thing.
Doesn't matter. They're still contracted to that company. They don't want anything to do with that company anymore. So, Jared Beal's gone too because of that.
So in that case, it's up to the players if they believe they're a good fit for Warriors and they want to stay in the Warriors. And I think that Blake Green's probably the steely head 5'8 halfback that they need to obviously for the next year or two until they find another one that's not going to play for one round and go missing for five. Then it's up to Blake Green to go and get himself a new player manager. It's not that hard. There's plenty of them yet, mate. Blake Green, go hit up Michael Sincotta. There you go. There's your new player agent, mate. Go hit Michael up. He'll have your best interest in hearts. He's one of our great mates.
Kevin Locke. You're sampling the best.
Kevin Locke, you're simply the best moment, mate. Signing back up with Michael Sincotta trying to get in. Nah, we'll get back to Kevin Locke in a minute, mate. But yeah, so what's your simply the best moment from the round?
Ricky Stewart. I just love the bloke. Michael Ennis was giving it to him in the lead up to the match, and he caught
about him. About being cold on camera, and something was showing.
His
hair out, didn't he?
Told Mick that he was a dickhead on national TV, which is great to see. It's great banter there between the both of them. And it was a banter-a-thon. You know, Ennis got some stick as well. They interviewed Brayley, and he was talking about, you know, him, you know, stepping out of his brother's shoes and blah, blah, blah. And he actually goes, yeah, I'm just, you know, was the Cronulla Sharks, they breed Dickhead 9, so why not live into it? So he got some good old jibs this weekend too. So Michael Ennis getting jibbed, that's my simply the best moment for the week.
Mate, my simply the best moment has to be Penrith on top still. I love it. Mate, we're on top of the ladder, looking down at all you second-class citizens, especially your Knights, mate. I caught it. Did I call it on the radio or did I call it on the podcast? I can't remember which one I caught it, but I think it was the radio. If the Knights don't beat the Bulldogs, they cannot be top four contenders for this year. And what happened, mate?
We're gone, mate.
You lost to the Bulldogs.
Someone put 20 grand on us not to make the eight.
Not to make the eight. Well, yeah. That's some sure money then, mate.
We're in trouble. We're up to our fourth hooker. Anyways, we'll get across there.
Newcastle, there's plenty of hookers there.
Anyway, on to Kevin Locke, mate. He wants to come back and play, so that's a good news story coming out of this week too.
Yeah, Michael Sincotta nailed that one. Got that signature on the line there for it. So
put his hand up, play for the Warriors too, so which is a good thing.
Oh, they need a little bit of room. Kemba Marlowe's gone home, so they need some outside backs.
Fifey, what's blown your whistle this week?
Mate, it's blown my whistle for the last couple of weeks. The bunker. Blow it up. We don't need it. We don't want it. It's bullshit. How can you not be able to decipher whose hand is who? Now, what else pisses me off is they've got 9 cameras, or 9 screens that have 9 different angles of every shot that they're looking at. So whilst we're just looking at the one that Fox is showing us, there is 9 other different camera angles that are all looking at the same time. You cannot tell me that in 1080p high definition, Steve Clark and Ben Galea could not see that Duffy's hand was on that ball. I could see that Duffy's hand was on the ball in the shit vision that we were given on Fox Sports. I called it a no try from the start. Now, that has come back and has costed the Sharks, not the Sharks, the Dragons that game by 4 points. It was a converted kick. So, the Sharks should have lost that and the Dragons should have won that. Not only does it stuff up a lot of tips, it stuffs up the points on the leaderboard, most importantly, stuffs up a lot of people's multis if they are at a gambler's side of it, you know. They got stood down from their remaining games that they had for that weekend. Not good enough. Piss them off. Van Landy's come out and said that he wants to, you know, possibly have a look at getting rid of the bunker. Yeah, get rid of it. Fuck it off. Bring back the old 1980s, 1990s in-goal touches. And, you know, yeah, go on with it. You know, we lived with in-goal touches for so long. I don't know why we can't go back to them. I get that it's the digital age, but I couldn't give a fucking rat's ring about a digital age, though. I want calls on the field by the referee in the middle. We've had a bunker send a player to the sin bin, for fuck's sake. Bailey Simonson got sent to the sin bin on a bunker review. He's sitting miles away from the ground and goes, yeah, right, we'll send him to the bin. It's not up to the bunker. It's up to the referee in the field to send someone to the bin. So I want in-goal touches back, and I want everyone to persevere with what may happen on the ground in terms of errors, knowing that in the game, momentum swings, 50-50 calls are both sides of the green. Some you win more in some games, some you don't. But I guarantee you that no one will complain if we're not replaying the same mistake over and over afterwards. You know, we had this at the Auckland Nines. We had it elsewhere as well. We've had referees and in-goal touches in the off-season, which seems so far away, where there were mistakes, yet it wasn't brought up because the game had already moved on. The players and the crowd had already moved on past that and were watching the game again. They're talking about wanting to speed the game up to bring fatigue in the game. This is how you do it. Piss the bunker off and then have the in-goal touches there. The call's made. Before you even have your chance to do your stupid captain challenge, you've already moved on because it's been knocked on. You're out to the 20. The referee has made the decision and you've moved on. That's what's blown my whistle this week, mate, and it will continue to blow my whistle until they get it fucking right.
Round 11, a review. Thursday, the Eels have moved on quickly from a shock loss to Manly by storming back from an 8-0 deficit to beat the West Tigers 26-16. A brutal encounter, Bank West saw 3 players go off with head knock injuries, with Michael Chicken, Madison and Dewey all not coming back. RCG's been instrumental, probably the best prop in the game. Do you really think that he'll get his Blues jersey back if he keeps continuing this form at the end of the season? Maybe on the bench from me. I'm liking what I'm seeing at the moment. He's trimmed down, playing great footy. But then again, is he only playing great footy because Parramatta's going so well?
Well, you have a look at the starting props from the end of last year's Origin. Clemmer and Saifidi.
One's injured and one's not playing well.
Well, so he gets a starting spot. Sorry, Brad Fittler is a stickler for picking on form. If he is picking this side on form, RCG is a starting prop. That's for me. If we were having Origin next week, RCG, you're my prop. All right.
First game on Friday, Cowboys lost 24-12 against the Manly Seagulls. On the second game, Broncos did lead 8-0, did lead 8-6, but then the second half they got smashed, though they lost 46-8. On to Saturday, the Roosters survived the scare, 18-10, they defeated the Warriors. Obviously, the Sharks won 28-24, we just spoke about that earlier. On the final game on Saturday, we had the Raiders 18 over the South Sydney Rabbitohs 12. Mate, it was a great game. Defeated or depleted, not defeated, is what we're calling Canberra at the moment. So they come from behind. They did come from behind in a gripping encounter, so to speak. So they were 10-0 up and then they were 12-0 down going into half time. But then they come back and end up winning that second half. But they lose their fullback. Charles Nichols Clock's dad. You see his finger, mate? Wow, what a horrific injury.
I'm glad you got the L out of that name. Otherwise, it would have been a hilarious blooper by you. Yeah, it's not a good look for his finger. I think, what was it, 3-4 weeks or something? He's out now with a finger injury.
It was a good break, as they called it. So it was good to have surgery on, apparently. So my question to you was, does Ricky have enough fit players to name his 21? We'll soon find out going into the preview, so to speak. But
I hear a whisper that there's an Englishman coming back this week. So
and a mid-season coupe as well. So they might have just enough today with 21-man squad. But on to Sunday, that my nights.
Shit.
It was terrible to watch. 18-12. It was down 18-0 and we decided to turn up. The board, like, it was torrential weather. Both sides had to play. And the Dogs completed at 91%. They went 25 from 25. Knights completed, like, you know, 60, like in the 60s. It was atrocious. They couldn't hold the ball. And they're like, oh, we're 18-0 down. We should play now. It's just not good enough. And the way that what's his name, Adam O'Brien sprayed them in the after the game, 100% needed to do that.
Maybe Bulldogs got the better gripper check from Victor than the Knights, mate, because they didn't drop the ball.
Exactly. On the final game, we have the Panthers. They stay top, 22-14. This was another what would you call it?
I know. I went on a half time, mate, shit myself, thinking that the Titans were going to do. Due to the Panthers, what the Bulldogs did to the Knights, mate. So I was shitting bricks.
It was another tick off for Cleary's men. They had a lot out. It shows you the character to fly up there and turn up like that.
Didn't I call it on Saturday that Cleary needed a kick out, needed a rest? Yeah, he's out injured, but he's having a rest, mate. See, I called it. Cleary listens.
Nah,
I'm a super genius.
Well, so...
Oh, you lost your spot, mate, because I'm a genius. See, look at that. I'm a genius. I can make you lose your spot.
His calf injury kept him out. No, it was good. They, it was the youngest... The Panthers' youngest side they ever put out, too. So that was great to see for them. Anyways, we'll head into a...
We'll go around the grounds on the other side of this small advertisement. Fifer here, boys and girls. HQ Services Electrical Air Conditioning are a valued supporter of the Final Whistle, and we would just like to give them a bit of a shout out and tell you guys about their services. Dale.
Yeah, they experts you can trust. They're Sydney-wide throughout their coverage. They're high-quality guaranteed. They are a 24/7 service with workmanship warranty, fully licensed professionals, high-quality service, and also they have a 5-star rating Google rating as well, mate.
Yeah, no, they're top class. I always use Lukey and Jakey here in my house, and Mum uses them as well. So they're good quality workmanship, unbelievable. Got a number for them, Dale?
Yeah, 1-800-954-403. That's 1-800-954-403. And don't forget to quote the hashtag TFW to waive the call-out fee.
Yeah, exactly. Use the TFW hashtag, guys, when you're talking to Luke or Jake on the phone, and they'll happily help you out there. We have a good deal. HQ Services, experts you can trust. Yeah, HQ services, guys. If you need to use them, get on them. Let's go around the grounds here. The Fifey's got the around the grounds wrap. Start off with the Harvey Norman's Women's Premiership Round 2. The Cronulla Sharks defeated the North Sydney Bears 18-10 in a gripping encounter. Central Coast Roosters defeated Rabbitohs 32-8. Canterbury Bulldogs defeated Wentworthville 14-4. And the mighty West Tigers had a bye. On the Sydney Shield, although we said on the radio, mate, that we thought East Campbelltown and that weren't going to play, the powers to be at New South Wales Rugby League allowed them to play. And therefore, we have four results. Burrows Eagles defeated Sydney University 36-18. Moorbank Rams defeated East Campbelltown 28-18. Mighty Mouse's team went down there. Hills District defeated Wentworthville in the Battle of Parramatta 22-6. And the Cronulla Currumbar Sharks had the bye. Moving on to the President's Cup. Maitland Pickers defeated Dubbo 28-0. Hills District defeated Wentworthville Magpies 16-10. Lee Birdwood Wolves defeated the Bears 16-10 in the 91-year wait. You know what we got to do, though? We have to go back and find out what the score was between Glebe and North Sydney way back when in 19, whenever it was, 91 years ago. See who actually won the last one. And Western Suburbs defeated the Western Rams 12-0. It's not looking good out there for the boys out the West, but I guess if you actually gel the sides together, you might get yourself a better side. And I dare say that's what they should have done, but it's good that Dubbo is turning up, driving the 5 hours in the town and then 3 hours up. So, you know, they're driving probably about 7.5 hours to get out up there to Maitland. So that was good. Around the grounds, local. Well, we're not starting off local, but North Tamworth Bears defeated Cootingall 52-0. That's a pretty good victory, and it's showing our spread as a page on social media that, you know, we're getting results in from the bush. That's great to see. The under nines, Mount Druitt Lions defeated Glenmore Park 28-16. Under 6-3 Brumbies defeated Brothers 52-40 in what seems to be a try scoring match, not a tackling match. That's pretty good to see, Dale. Did you get out there and watch your little nephew run around?
Nah, mate, it's one parent to. Isn't it one parent to one player?
Mate, social distance. It's advised. However, at Brumbies, mate, you could sit on top of the hill there and still watch and still be social distancing.
Nah, I got all the videos anyway on their social media pages.
The videos.
That's he really actually good. Made a tackle.
He made a tackle.
Yeah, he grabbed the guy's shirt as he was falling down. So.
Oh, that constitutes a tackle? $5 from Uncle Dale. Make sure you get that little fella.
It was a Heidemark flop.
Oh, yeah, still it's $5 from you, mate. Under 10-4, St. Clair defeated Lower Mountains 24-10. Under 12-3s, Emu defeated St. Mary's 32-4. Under 6-1s, Division 1, St. Mary's defeated St. Clair 56-40. Although that's a high score line, it will come down as the kids get older and older, and it will be a close battle there for that age group in years to come. Under 12-3s, Hills Bulls defeated Wentworthville 25, I don't think that's 25-4, because you can't kick a field goal in mod. So it's either going to be 24-4 or 26-4. But anyway, we'll get back to that one later. 12-2, St. Mary's defeated Brothers 42-6. Under 8, South Newcastle defeated Dora Creek 24-20. Under 6s, Mincho and Brumbies had a 44-all draw. That's a good. I love it when it's a draw in the micro, mate. It just means it's touch football back to forth. Under 9-2s, Fairfield Maulers defeated Para Junior Eels 26-4. Under 13-2s, Fairfield Maulers defeated Fairfield St. Pat's 36-12. The Battle of the Fairfields. Under 12s, Barora Harden Bushhawks defeated Junior Diesels 28-24. I have to get down to Junior one day and go stand next to Rabs, the statue of Rabs Warren. What do you reckon, Dale? You up for a road trip down to Junior Diesels?
How far is it, mate?
Mate, it's probably about a case of beer.
If that's so wild. So not that far there.
No, a case of beer per person.
What is it, June what?
Junior Diesels, are you about 6 hours down south, mate?
No, I'll just go and chuck it in the maps and have a look.
Yeah, it's about 6 hours, I reckon.
No reception around here.
No, mate, this is Mount Druid, mate. We don't have reception. 15-1 St. Clair defeat Mincho, 20-0. And we move on over to
Remember to strap yourselves in for a good cause with Victor Sports. Everything from strapping tape, sports.
Sorry about that, guys. Victor Sports wanted another advertisement. I pressed the button. Sorry about that. We'll get back to our around the grounds here. Under 12, Engadine Dragons defeated Sutherland Loftus Pirates. Hopefully there was no COVID out there this weekend. 16-12. 12-1, Hills Bulls defeated Rhinos. 24-4. 15-3 defeated St. Pat's. St. Pat's defeated Mincho, my mistake, 40-10. Toddy Bredsell's team, under 13s, Div 4. St. Mary's defeated Doonside, 42-0. That side comes up against our second under 13s Minchinberry side this weekend. Both sides are undefeated. Our Minchinberry side had a good 42-14 victory over Brothers. I think it was the game before ours. No, the game, two games before ours. We got out there and watched the last, I think, 5-10 minutes of it. But, yeah, getting back to Toddy's side, St. Mary's, yeah, 42-0 over Doonside. Toddy, you're in the wrong division, mate. 13-1s, Guildford Owls, coached by Adam Ali, defeated the Hills Bulls 52-0. Jesus Christ, that's a mercy rule. What a game. Mate, mercy rule. It's not much of football if you're mercying people. Under 11's Dolby Geckos defeated Willoughby Creek 28-4. Mincho, mate. Under 13's Div 1. Oh, no, Div 2, sorry. Not Div 1. I don't want to be Div 1 yet. And Mincho. So, Minchinberry Jets defeated Brothers 30-10. And the vision went up on the page. Mine... dumbass kid decided to reenact Piggy Riddell and scored a 90-meter try from a scrum and then went and jumped the fence and clapped himself. He thought it was really good, and all the boys decided to have a laugh last night when we done our video session about it. Cheeky little smartass. Now he's actually asking what people want to see him do next week if he scores the try. It's a cheeky bugger. What's your request, Dar? What would you like to see Numbnuts Jacko do if he scores a try this week?
I don't know. Just run back and cut all the boys, mate. No try celebrations. We're going to be finished. We're going to be finished July. Mate, time they play.
Mate, every year for the last 7-8 years, he's made up his own little post-try celebration. He done a lawnmower one time after seeing Andrew Fafita do it. He's done sprinklers. He's done everything you can almost think of. I think a couple of them out there, they want him to do the selfie with the team, get the team in, pretend to do a selfie type shit, or the old New South Wales Blues bowl them all over. He'll think of something. I think in the trial match, I think he done the whole invisible hand sanitizer thing that the Broncos had done the night before. He picks it all up off watching the games. He's a shit, but he's a talented shit. 15-1s, Fairfield Maulers defeated Winston Hills 22-10. We had our 7 girls on Sunday. Little Miss Maddie, I think they went away with a 1-try loss or a draw. I was more impressed with the fact that she actually made tackles, Dale. So I think her game needs to be more rain affected because she actually plays better. She made 8 tackles on the weekend. So for her, that's a mean feat. She doesn't like getting involved in the tackling. She rather scored a try. So I was happy with that. As for our A grade, we took on Penrith Waratahs, as we said at the top of this. Penrith Waratahs were synonymously wet, if that's the word for it. It was a mud pit, though. We were running water out against COVID rules so that the players can wash the mud out of their eyes because they couldn't see crap. Yet you come down to Kurrila Reserve and there's no mud, no nothing, and the referee calls it off. The referee just didn't want to get wet. At least our referee up there decided to get wet. Some calls went against us, but that's the way the whistle crumbles, unfortunately, in terms of park footy. But no, look, all in all, it was a better performance. You know, last week coming out 52-4, we came out and lost, I think, 30-6. So the defence was there. We'll get back into training again this Friday. It's a big match on Sunday, Doonside versus Doonside at Doonside. So
get down to Doonside.
It's a big Sunday, that's for sure. There's a lot of space on that hill up there to be able to social distance safely. And, yeah, get down and watch two Doonside sides just smack the hell out of each other. And hopefully I come away with a win. It'd be good to see me having a win on the A-grade list.
Skins versus no skins this week?
No. We've got the Indigenous jersey, so we'll wear the Indigenous jersey and they'll just wear their normal Doonside strip.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be the best, you got to wear the best. And if you're going to wear the best, you got to wear Sonali. Sonali Sports, born in the year 2000. They are a very humble beginning type of people. They look after the West because they are from the West. Dale.
Yes, they're made to play. Combine your passion and innovation to make Sonali your brand. Call the boys on 02-9838-4846. That's 02-9838-4846.
Very good stuff, mate. We are wearing our Sonali shirts today while we're doing our podcast and whilst we're out and about at junior football. We wear our gear with pride.
Indigenous round is upon us this weekend. It's ever more fitting. We have a proud Indigenous man jumping on the podcast this afternoon. Brenton Bowen played 51 NRL games for the Cowboys and the Titans, as well as scoring 24 tries in the process. Welcome to the final whistle, mate. How are we going?
Yeah, good, mate.
How's things travelling up there? Nice weather?
Yeah, very nice weather. It's been pretty good up because I'm living in Brisbane at the moment. Been here for the last three years. But yeah, like in the last couple of days, it's been pretty nice. There's not a sight of a cloud in the sky, which is good. But it's still a bit cold though, which is, with the breeze. But otherwise, pretty good.
COVID free up there?
Well, no, we just got a case here in Logan just yesterday at a school, so they closed down a school. So we thought we were in the clear, but yeah, not to be. But yeah, hopefully it gets all sorted and doesn't spread as much.
Are you guys going to close the borders? I've read some things about that. What's the scoop on that?
Yeah, well, honestly, I just read what you guys read. Like, I only read this morning that Palaszczuk was sort of threatening to close the borders again. But I think it's only just for the hotspots of New South Wales. But who knows? I'll sort of just keep a close eye on the newspaper, either obviously through online portals. I'm not too sure how it's going, when or if they're going to close the borders. So just sort of wait and see, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I heard it was the 1st of August for all of us Sydney-siders, Central Coast people, and the Blue Mountains, I'm pretty sure, is the thing. The only good thing, I guess, to come out of that for you guys up there in Queensland is that you might have 8 games of football live in Queensland a week starting next weekend, I guess, because I think Valandis is talking at the moment to Palaszczuk to see what's going to happen with the NRL teams that are down here. Obviously, you know, the majority of the competition's down here.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be interesting times, but we'll get on to you, mate. Where did you start your rugby league journey? Because as we all know, rugby league superstars and NRL players of any kind have to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, myself, I grew up in a small Aboriginal community up in North Queensland called Hopewell. So obviously that's where Matty comes from as well, my cousin, the famous Matt Bowen. he's a year older than I am, but we pretty much grew up together. We didn't really play a competitive game, or like a just a normal game for you until we went to high school. So, but back then, like, it was just backyard footy, like either on the weekends or straight after school. It was just no tackle involved, just sort of touch footy. And with that, so because of myself and Maddie, we were always on opposing sides because, you know, we're at that time we were both the fastest in our age group. So, yeah, so I want to try and level up the team. I used to watch my dad a lot as a young fella. He played in the Cairns District rugby league comp up there. So yeah, that Hopewell is about 4 hours north of Cairns. So almost every weekend I'd travel down with my dad, watch him play, and then travel back. But yeah, it's sort of fun times back then. And like I said, we went to Abergary College, St. Teresa's. So that's where myself and Maddie, we did all of our school in there. And so that's where we actually started playing rugby league competitively.
Awesome. Yeah. Obviously, a proud Indigenous man. Where's your mob from, mate? Who are they? And go from there.
Yeah, so from Hopewell, my mob up there is the Gookums of people. So that's little fun fact. So our language is the language that gave Australia the name kangaroo. So when the first fleet came over to Australia, met with the locals around Cooktown, and so they pointed out the animal, and you know that they haven't seen that sort of animal before, and so they asked the locals what the animal was, and it's a dungaroo, but obviously so they couldn't really roll their tongue, so they call it kangaroo. So that's where Australia got the name kangaroo from.
Great history lesson there.
It's always a great history lesson when we have people on. And, you know, Brenton obviously being from Hopewell up there far north, like 4 hours north of Cairns, it shows that our country is a big land.
That's
right. So growing up, obviously, being a proud Indigenous fella, a lot of the stories of you know, the ancestors that had obviously come down through the lines. How old were you when you heard your first story where it actually took a bit of meaning and has stuck with you throughout your life?
I think by then, as I was growing up, we sort of, lost a bit of culture, like the, in our language, but it's just sort of starting to come back through the schools. Up in Hopewell now, they've got the Gookums language as part of the school curriculum, so which is good for the younger guys. So I didn't have anything like that growing up. When I think about Hopewell, obviously the tone and no matter where you go, like, you know, that your home is where your heart is. So every time I go home, I just, you know, love going down to the beach. You know, just to get away from everything. But this is when I was playing footy. So, you know, we have these 4 to 8 weeks off during the year. So just sort of go home and, you know, sit back on country and, do everything that I used to do as a child, which is, you know, go hunting and fishing and, you know, 100-foot turtle and dugong and, you know, just that cultural things that we grew up as a kid.
Yeah. Awesome. I see that you're at Deadly Choices. What's your involvement there?
Yeah, so one of the Deadly Choices ambassadors. So I've only just come on board in the last 12 months. So they've got myself, Willie Tonga, Petro Sivasiva, Steve Renoff, Preston Campbell, Scotty Prince. So there's past footy players. But then we've got Patrick Johnson. We've got a weightlifter in Brandon Wakeling. Basically our role is to go along to our school programs. So with Daily Choices, we've got a program officer that goes out to schools and run school programs around preventative health. And so with myself as ambassador, we go along and just sort of give them tips on or give them a bit of an insight of, I suppose, what it takes to be a professional athlete and the sacrifices you have to make and, making sure you eat the right food. So, so we just give the kids our perspective on, what it takes to be a professional athlete if they wanted to go down that channel.
So. Awesome. When you speak to Willie tomorrow, we actually interviewed him about a year ago, so to speak, so he'll know who we are too. So we had a great podcast with him before he headed up to Deadly Choices too. So.
I'll see him tomorrow. So I'll mention it. So.
Yeah, see what he says. It was a good one. He was our first interview where we found out that we actually had a limit on our old setup. you could only record for an hour. So the phone that we were recording on at the time started flashing, and we were all going, "Oh, what the hell?" Because we didn't know what it was, because we didn't realize that he only had 1 hour. So. We'll have to get him on for a part two down the track.
Yeah.
But getting back to you, buddy, obviously, we just spoke about, where you've come from, your Indigenous background, but you're also a talented rugby league player as well, and you also got to represent Queensland in the under-15 and the under-17 schoolboys teams.
Yeah.
Talk about your time, how you got selected there, the players amongst you, and then also the players that kicked on from those teams and ended up playing NRL.
Yeah, okay. So with making the Queensland 15s, I've only been playing competitive rugby league for 2 years. I got lucky enough to get selected for the North Queensland under-15s team. So, I'm pretty sure it's the same as New South Wales, where you get selected into regions and then we come together for a state carnival. So we went to a place called Kingaroy here in southeast Queensland, and they had the state carnival there. So our team ended up winning that state carnival from Northern. I think about six of us that made the Queensland under-15 team. So obviously, then I was one of them. And from that team, I got selected as a on a Cowboys, North Queensland Cowboys scholarship. So I had that until I finished high school. Queensland 15s. We went down to New South Wales. Canberra, Queanbeyan. So they had the national titles down there. We didn't do too well. I think the New South Wales combined high school won that time. But they had guys like Joey Williams. He was like, he played, obviously went to play for South Indians and the Roosters. But in our team, we had Cameron Smith, which is, looking back now, you think, oh, wow, I played with one of the greats of the game. It was crazy how it worked. He came off the bench for our Queensland team.
Pretty stacked there.
I was going to say, but it just goes to show, he was just determined. He works hard for everything that he, achieves in the game. And I suppose it's a testament to him and his work ethic.
If he was interchange player, who was the starting hooker for the under-15s?
So he was the hooker for our North Queensland team. So Michael Rose. He was really good. He was a good player back then. There's some players that, sort of, I don't know whether you call it like peak at the wrong time, or like they were good in that age group but didn't really kick on, I suppose.
Go ahead, bud.
No, I was just like, I think he was a bit unlucky as well with injuries. So, so that's another killer.
Yeah, where, injuries are bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So you come through the Cowboys system. Obviously, you got that scholarship. Did you play all the way through, and then did you go to Q Cup, and then before you got your debut? So how did all that work when you went through the system there?
Yeah, so after I finished high school, just like any other club, if you're coming to the system, you don't go on any schoolies trip after you graduate. So it was just straight into preseason. I had probably a couple of years of playing. The first year I was out of high school, I just played in the local league in Townsville. And then the year after, that's when I played the Young Guns. So we were, in 2002, we were still in the New South Wales Cup. So we travelled down to New South Wales to play. And in 2003, that's when we came back and played in the Queensland Cup competition. I look back on that, those early years of trying to get into the first grade. It was fun. It wasn't until 2003 that I made my first grade debut. Yeah, and it was, I think just like anyone, like the debut, you remember that because obviously it's your first game of the NRL, which everyone that plays in the NRL, dreams of that moment in their life, playing their first game.
Yeah, so you said in 2003 that you made your NRL debut. How did the late great Graham Murray advise you that you were going to debut? Was it someone had a fallen injury, or was it just someone got dropped and you got your chance?
He spoke to me a few times before because he thought like I had a really good season the year before playing in the Young Guns, and that I was only sort of knocking on the door first grade. And that because I made my first grade debut in the round three against Manly, the Eagles, and for that first two rounds, like he believed I was playing well, and he obviously there's no spots for me on the wing because Paul Williams and Matt Sings on the wing. So he put me on the bench, so 14. So but he said to me that he didn't know where he wanted to play me, but he just rewarded me for my good form. And it was fortunate that Tyle Williams went down injured in that game, so I ready-made replacement, and I came on and played in the wing for, I think it might have been 60 minutes of that game, which was good. I played against, my first game was against John Hopewadi, so I was like, it was a bit scary coming up against him, but yeah.
Did you run? Well, you guys end up winning anyway, 30-20, so you got over them. So it's ever fitting that, back when you made your debut, Cowboys went for a rebuilding phase, as well as they're probably going through that at the moment with all their youngsters coming through. So obviously at the end of 2002, your boys, let 12 players out the door, and then you guys signed, the premiership winner, Kevin Champion, and you brought in New Zealand international Paul Rahihi, two big egos coming into the club. How did they shape and rebuild the culture up there at North Queensland Cowboys?
Yeah, well, Campo, I think his resume speaks for itself. Is competitive. He knows how to win. And Paul, he's just big. I think a lot of us sort of feared him before he came there, but he was real good. He loves a laugh. He loves a good time. in both Campo and Ra, but they fit in perfectly with the culture up there. And obviously, that like they were really, really good for our for the Cowboys as well. Yeah.
So you spoke earlier about when you were younger, being on the opposite side to your cousin because you both had speed. How was it finally to run out in the NRL in Cowboys colours together on the same team as your cousin?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, for two, young little Murrays coming from a small community of like 1,200 people, and you think like, when you put that into perspective, it's really like pretty special. Like, again, like the Foresters sort of went through, we grew up together, went to the same high school, both got scholarships for Cowboys, and they're both went on to play NRL together. It was pretty special to be able to share that feel with Matty on my debut game.
Yeah, would have been a memorable moment for the family, no doubt. Javen Boehm, is he related somewhere through there?
Yeah, so Javen, I'm not sure it's going to make sense, but like his, so with Matty, so my dad and Matty's dad are brothers. And David's granddad is my dad and Maddie's brother. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Basically a nephew.
Yeah, that's it. So 2005, the GOAT JT arrives up north. What was his presence like on and off the field? We all know he's the ultimate professional and prepares himself physically and mentally week in, week out. What was it like? What was it like it up there in North Queensland when he arrived?
It was pretty special because he obviously played in that 2004 grand final with Bulldogs and won. And everyone knows how he gave his grand final ring to Steve Price. But I've known JT for a while. Like we were both in that Queensland 17 team together. So he was a 5'8" for our team. So I've known him for a while. Massive signing for the Cowboys. I think it's the one that got away for the Bulldogs. So it was, unfortunate for Bulldogs, but great news for the Cowboys. Obviously, and the history speaks for itself with JT.
So after spending, four or five years coming and also coming through the Cowboys system, 2008 you ended up at Gold Coast Titans. How did that happen?
Yeah.
And what made you move from the North of Queensland down to the glitz and glamour of the Gold Coast?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't know how. In the 2017 season, like that's the thing. Like I was playing regular first grade, and you'd think like every year if you're playing regular first grade, you'd get an upgrade on your contract. But that wasn't to be with myself. For whatever reason, I'm not too sure. But the Cowboys were offering me. They offered me a one-year contract to stay, a one-year extension to stay for less money than I was on the previous year. So I couldn't understand that. And the Titans were offering a bit more with a two-year option. So as in like, oh, sorry, a two-year contract. So I thought, I wanted to stay in council, but I felt like I didn't have the... with the coaches where they, I don't know whether it's the trust or I'm not too sure what it was, but yeah, I just felt gutted because I thought, I was playing regular first grade and I thought, how good this, I'll probably go on to play a few more years with the Cowboys and then see what happens after that. But
a week is a long time in rugby league, as they say, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you were coached by Graham Murray and John Cartwright. What did you learn differently from the pair?
Well, Gray Murray, he votes really smart, like football brain. So Gray Murray sort of sat back and let the assistant coaches run the sessions. So it had Neil Henry and Grant Bell. So they sort of ran the sessions, like field sessions, and Muzz, he sort of sat back and sort of watched from the back. Whereas John Cartwright, he sort of just got involved with training. So he was in with the drills, got involved in everything that we did. But yeah, I got both great football brains. Yeah, so I couldn't really split the two.
Each brought different attributes, which obviously helped the sides out. I remember Johnny Cartwright being the first coach there for Gold Coast Titans, and they hit the ground slightly good and kept moving on there. And just moving on, mate, you played with a lot of pests on the field. Who's the biggest pest of them all?
Biggest pest, I'd say Brett Finch. Like I wasn't obviously on the wing, but you could just hear him sort of chattering, like just being like a pest on the field. But he's off the field, it's great. Like I think when people talk about Michael Ennis, that way as well, they say pest on the field, but great bloke off it. I'd say like Brett Finch.
Yeah, good old Finchie. Good old Tate, sorry. What was I going to say? Was it the toughest trainer? So the person who turned up every week, every day, week in, week out, and just trained the house down. Who was that ultimate professional that was always, up for training as well as up for game day?
There'd be a few. Rod Benson would be one of them. Like, he's very tough. Like, he's at the Cowboys, so Ray Cashmere, he was another one. Like both Jensen and Ray Cashmere, we'd call them both Mr. 100%. I mean, that obviously that's what you want from the players when you go to training and that. But sometimes they take it a little bit too serious. They both played the way they trained. I suppose, and just as well as everyone else, but I think they just wanted to try and get the better of everyone at training. Yeah.
Who was the toughest player you came against?
Against?
Yeah. Who did you come up against and you thought, stuff that, I'm not running at him again?
Honestly, it had to be my toughest opponent. Would have to be Manu Fodabai, the Beast. I remember a game where Ireland, New Zealand. I'm not too sure why he put me. Put me against him, but he must have trusted me. He just steamrolled me like a few times. Like, wow.
You weren't the only one he steamrolled, to tell you that much.
No, that's exactly
So you.
But I think it's got like a probably like
20 or 30
kilos on
me
too. So
yeah, he's probably got on most wingers these days too. You spent only one season at the Titans. What happened there, bud?
Yeah, well, I signed for 2 years, but only played that one the first year, and wasn't sure like what happened, but. So I was still contracted with the Titans, but I played for their theatre team, Tweed Seagulls, the last year of my contract. And I suppose like they had young guys coming through, like Kevin Gordon and Dave Meade. I don't know whether they wanted to keep on the team because they're two young up-and-coming wingers. And in saying that, I felt like I wasn't sort of given a chance to play regular first grade. But then again, they had guys like Chris Walker, Matt Peterson. So had a healthy sort of backline choices, I suppose. I just wasn't meant to be. But I always think about it now. Like in hindsight, I think what if I stayed with the Cowboys? Because I remember that my first year at the Titans, the Cowboys went through about four or five different wingers for that year. But again, that's hindsight for you.
At sliding doors and hindsight, it's a marvelous thing to have, but it's also bad at the same time. Mate, expansion, it's a hot topic in the NRL. You've come through Q Cup. So is Queensland the correct way to go into expansion? They're talking about a second Brisbane side. Yeah. Named the Brisbane Bombers. I don't think anyone would want to go for the Bombers when it's so close to AFL. Which out of the Q Cup sides that are up there right now you think are ready to make that next step up to being an NRL franchise?
I'd have to say Sunny Coast. They're the feeder team for Melbourne Storm, but they've been really competitive for the last sort of few years. So I'd have to say Sunny Coast. But in saying that, I feel like they should expand to a different state. We keep talking about Western Australia. We had the Reds over there, obviously, a while back. But, Western Australia would be great. I just can't see how South Queensland can support another footy team. You got the Broncos here, pretty much the heart and soul of Brisbane. I don't know. It'd be a tough one. It's a good discussion though, but I'm not too sure. Personally, I'm not too sure how another Brisbane team would go.
Yeah, no, you're on the same track as us, mate. We're here at Fine Whistle heavily backing a Western Australia side. There's no union over there at the moment, although there is a union side, but it's over here on the east side because of COVID. So there's no union. Yeah. And what they've got over there is AFL, soccer, cricket. So it's time for rugby league to come over there.
Also frees up another time slot too, so you could have four games on a Saturday, even so to speak, or you can have an early game on a Sunday too. So logistically, it works out, in favour of us over here as well, and they'll love it over there too. Like Origin was sold out, and they loved it there too. So another sport would be good too. So obviously, we'll stick with the NRL theme here at the moment. So six again, mate. It's been massive since they come back from COVID. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Or do you think it needs a bit tweaking, or you think it's probably the right direction of the game?
I like it. We've seen in previous years where teams get down to, the attacking team gets down to the defender's try line, and they give away a penalty just to slow down the play. And that's where I like it, where just continue on. Like there's no breathers for the defending team, so just have to keep on tackling until something happens, whether it be a try or a kick restart But I actually like it. I play a bit of touch rugby league up here, and it's sort of similar rules. So I don't know whether they got that from the touch rugby league or. I personally like it.
Yeah, it's good, but I guess, as with everything, once clubs and coaches start flouting it a bit, they're going to have to tweak it to suit. If you're giving away three six agains in the space of 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and then I guess a penalty would be the better option. Or a 3 minute in the bin for the offending player, I guess. It will liven it up for sure, and then it will also cut out the ruck infringements, because if you do it three times in a row in the space of 3 minutes, you're going to have a player sitting out for 3 minutes. You know, that's two sets of six. You know, one set defending and one set attacking if you get the ball back. Move on, mate. Obviously, you know, you were a Titan there for a period of 12 months. What's your thoughts on David Fifita joining the Titans? Is it a good move or do you see it as a money grab?
I think it's a good move. I feel that if the Broncos were playing well and sort of sitting around the top four, I think David Fifita would never have considered going to the Titans. But I feel like they're both, you know, in and around that same of the same spot on the ladder, and you know the way that they're playing at the moment. So I think it's a great move for the Titans.
Yeah, so with Fifita going there, as well as Tino from Melbourne, Fatu Mariaka, and then Herman Sasa, the Titans are going to have one of the biggest forward packs going into 2021. So Justin Holbrook is finally getting his just desserts.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard, obviously, with you know, with the teams that are not doing well, they have to pay sort of overs for you know, for players to go to the Titans, especially you know if they haven't been going so well, you know, the last sort of few seasons. So I feel like you know, they have to pay overs to attract players to come to the club. But you know, I think they feel going then. Again, like those other players that are going there as well, it's going to be really good for the Titans.
Do you think if Brisbane were in the top four, he would have re-signed or sort of went to the Titans?
Yeah, no, I think he would have stayed with the Broncos because you know like if they want to go to like a winning culture, if Broncos were you know normally. You think when you think Broncos, you think, oh, yeah, that's a consistent team. But I just think if the Broncos are in the top four, Fifita would have stayed.
Yeah, without a doubt. 2015 Grand Final, mate. What was it like in Townsville when the trophy finally went up there for the first time?
Yeah, it was a great feeling. I honestly didn't think. They could win in, especially in that last 15 minutes. You know, the Broncos were sort of all over the boys. But obviously, you can't sort of write any team off with JT in it. And a little nice little flick pass there by Michael Morgan to Cole Felt. The buzz around not just Townsville, but cause at the time I was living up in Cairns, so the buzz up in Cairns was probably just as big as Townsville was, but the whole region just like a little rejoice about how the Cowboys were winning the grand final for the first time. I was talking to Matty about it, and I think a lot of the boys just felt, you know, a lot of boys have retired before that, kind of felt a little bit envious about the boys winning, but you know that's how footy goes. So, it was good. Great buzz around North Queensland, that's for sure.
Just on grand finals, obviously, there won't be many Queensland sides in the grand final this year, the way they're going on the field in 2020. Who do you think will win? Do you think it's going to be a Rooster three-peat, or is there someone out there that you think is ready to go in terms of clubs?
Yeah, well, they can't go past Melbourne, but I think Penrith will be, you know, sort of smoky. Like they obviously they're playing well now, but just hope that they keep up this form that they're in now and go all the way. So my pick would be Penrith, I think.
I'm happy with that one, mate. I'm a Penrith fan, so I'm happy with that response.
Hey.
just before we finish up, mate, there's a vacant spot there up at the Cowboys. Who gets it? Who, if you had to choose, who comes in for the next coach? Who gets it for you?
I'd love to see how Josh goes. Yeah, I agree. because I played a bit of footy with Josh, and you know, it'd be good to see him sort of prove himself, I suppose, in that head coaching role. But if they were to go from the outside, yeah, I don't know. But we go like Nathan Brown. Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, Jerome's, I've just been sort of hoping that they go with Josh Hannay.
If it's not Josh Hannay, I wouldn't mind seeing Walker Brothers.
Yeah, well, I was thinking them, but I'm just reading the papers, but that they might be going the Warriors.
Yeah, no, Warriors have already declined them, and they also declined Jeff Tuvey.
Ah, well.
So
yeah, I think they're Jeff Tuvey one.
So the Warriors, boss comes out and says he wants someone with personality, yet he doesn't want Jeff Tuvey, who screams at a post-match conference 9 out of 10 weeks in a row. So don't ask me how much more personality you need than Jeff Tuvey over at Warriors.
For me, Kevin Walters gets it. I think he's hanging out for that Broncos job, but if the Broncos keep back in Seabold, I feel that he might just that might just be the perfect suit for him at the moment. Obviously, he's got the Queensland stuff as well, but he's itching for a club spot there. He's won 6 premierships on his own, so as a player, so, and he's got that great Queensland side too. So we're interesting to see how he goes as well. But we'd like to say, obviously, thanks for your time, mate. We won't keep you too long. And all the best up there, Deadly Choices, all the best for the family and all that stuff. Deadly Choices are on the Broncos jersey this weekend for Indigenous Round 2. I saw that.
Yeah, that's right. At the Cowboys as well. So, because we've got partnerships with the Cowboys, Broncos and Titans. So, but yeah, I think Broncos are one of the main ones for that partnership. So, yeah, good to see.
Yeah, mate, thanks for your time. And we'll have a chat to you again later on in the year, mate. See how you've been and whatever else. But thanks for your time, bud.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate that chat. It's good.
In for a good cause with Victor Sports. Everything from strapping tape, sports medicine items, braces, foot care, and injury preventions, while also facilitating your hygiene needs for your COVID plans in 2020.
That's right, Dale. COVID plans are out and you need your hygiene, and David and Jenny from the team are happy to help you out, making sure you guys are COVID safe to be able to play for your junior footy. Their goal is to equip athletes and medical professionals with the most advanced sports medical products that is available at your fingertips. Even if you're a small local club or a weekend warrior like myself, Victor Sports will be happy to help. So get on board, contact 9211-0033, ask for David or Jenny, make sure you tell them that the Final Whistle Boys sent you here to get your gear so you can be strapped up for whatever cause you may be doing out there in Sportland. All right, here we go. Preview round 12. What do we have Thursday night, Dale?
Round 12. So the NRL 2020 Indigenous round will adopt the theme Pass Back, Move Forward to highlight the importance of understanding and appreciating Indigenous history and culture in order to build a better future. On Thursday, the Dragons take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs, both sides engineering a brave comebacks that fell just short after suffering injuries in the process, so much will hinge on who recovers the best after a grueling match in round 11. For the Dragons.
You're right there, mate. You had a stroke.
Had a stroke, mate.
You had a Gus Wallen stroke, did you?
Had a stroke. No, started going sideways.
you need glasses, mate. Yeah, you want to put those glasses on?
Yeah. So for the Dragons, they lose halfback Adam Clune and Trent Merrin to HIAs. They both failed all their protocols. So Ben Hunt goes to 7. McInnes goes back to hooker and Jackson Ford starts at lock. Piera replaces Saab on the wing. I don't know what bloody McGregor's doing. 1 week Saab's in and then he's out and in and out. I don't know why they're doing the rotation for the wingers.
He's keeping him on that fishing line so he doesn't go anywhere else.
That too. Tarek Sims returns from a suspension, pushing Tyrell Fumiano back to the bench.
Fumiano.
Guess what?
What?
Tristan Saylor is the new man on the bench. Finally gets a game in 2020.
See, there's that fishing line again.
There's the fishing line again.
He's keeping him on and not detaching. Mate.
Hang on.
I'm hanging. Which one? Left or right? What do you want me to hang on?
Latrell Mitchell returns to fullback. Alex Johnson goes to the wing. Corey Allen out.
Latrell's back.
Liam Knight and Patrick Mogo return on the bench. Jack Johns and Saleh drop out. Poor Jack Johns makes his debut, then gets dropped out. But
Did you see his debut?
A rotation.
I'll just run straight up Papali.
Oh, well. You've got to run it sooner or later.
Nah, look. Just with Ben Hunt going back to halfback, I don't see them winning. South for mine, 1-12.
Have you seen the Indigenous jerseys this week, mate? Some credible crackers out there, isn't there?
There's some good ones and there's some how you going ones.
What about Canberra? They decided to finish off the jersey. They started at the top and they just stopped.
No, we'll just do the sleeves.
Just do the sleeves.
Well, you haven't seen the back. The back could be covered.
Yeah, true. South Sydney one's probably the nicest for my liking. I like the white background and it just makes it pop. Anyways,
I like the Panthers one. It's white and it makes it pop.
Got a bit of yellow at the front, mate.
Great. Yes, like a tequila sunrise.
Moving into the first game on Friday, the West Tigers versus the Warriors. Last week's loss left them in ninth.
Who's playing?
West Tigers versus the Warriors.
It's close to being a match.
The West Tigers, they're in ninth.
Their favourite position. You know what? The NRL should this year adopt something different.
The West Tigers position.
Screw the top eight. We're going to go to top nine so the Tigers can actually play because they keep ending up on this ninth position.
Imagine they finish 10th then. we won't joke about that. In terms of finals aspirations, the Tigers can't afford to take the Warriors lightly like the Roosters did last week as they might be able to pull their pants down. For the Tigers, Alex Twell returns from a knee injury at lock. Gardner returns from concussion in the back row. Oliver Clark starts at prop from suspension. Russell Crowe is also suspended for 1 week. Michael Cheekham has been arrested as of the head knock protocols.
Arrested? He got
head
arrested,
knock,
did
head
he?
Knock protocols.
He's been arrested. Not arrested. I was going to say, how did he get arrested? What, from being too concussed?
Too concussed. And Matt Ithan Hewson drops out. Thomas McKaylee returns. They've got a lot of returning, haven't they, for the Tigers? They've got like millions of them coming back and millions of them getting injured. Josh Reynolds is back from suspension but not been named. He's been named in the 21, but
it's like a carousel. Some come off, some come on.
Well, you need that now in this season because there's no cup sort of thing. So for the Warriors, there's obviously those four players go back to NZ. So Fusatua and Mamalo return to New Zealand. Patrick Herbert comes into one wing. George Jennings makes his club debut on the other wing. And then Dan Alvaro makes his club debut for the Warriors in place of Papali'i. And then Wade Egan returns from suspension and drops Chanel Havas-Tavita to the bench. How do you see this one, mate, for early game on Friday? The Warriors love the early game on Fridays, don't they? I feel that they have played the majority of their matches there on a Friday.
Yeah, I see Tigers winning this one in a close battle. It's good to see that some players are being put on loan to the Warriors. I believe Mr. Bennett has given many times a way to be able to keep the players who aren't playing fit. Look, me personally, I believe that there needs to be something there to be able to keep them fit, match ready. I would like to see the NRL... and it's obviously too late to do it now, but I would have liked to see them adopt a sevens or a nines so that they've still got the contact as a precursor. So, you know, the ones that aren't playing, you have 17 boys playing a week. You take your 18th and your 19th and possibly your 20th man. It still leaves you with 12 players. Now, why can't those 12 players from both sides, who, if they're not injured, play a 7-a-side or a 9-a-side comp?
Too much logistics, you know, probably.
No, it's not really. They're all there anyway. Oh, except, oh, look, yeah, you probably got 20 on game day, but that's not the point. Point of the matter is injuries are happening because we're bringing people in that haven't played football and expecting them to be ready to go, match ready.
Speaking about injuries, 480 NRL registered players throughout the NRL comp. How many are currently injured at the moment?
You're looking at about at least 70.
90.
Yeah, I'm that far.
90 out of 480.
Exactly
last,
right.
You know how many we had this time last year in the end? In obviously, due to the 2019 season, 60.
Mm.
And that's obviously people get injured in cup as well. So that's two games sort of thing. So
yeah, but no, look, it's happening because the NRL are expecting these players that haven't played for weeks on end. You look at, you know, Malachi Watene's Lesniak. Yeah, he got through the match last week, but there was no certainty. He could have gone and done the first full stride and blown the hamstring because he hasn't played in what? What are we at now? Round 12, being back round 3, so that's nine rounds since
3 months since he played. Exactly he didn't play right. Week 1 or week 2 no, either.
Exactly
so.
Right. So, you know what I mean? It's bullshit how they expect the players just to jump straight in. So, a 7 aside, even if it's just 14, 15 minutes, it you know, it stretches them, it blows out any cobwebs, a bit of hits that they have. For mine here, mate, Tigers will be my victory. Sorry that I sidetracked that one, but Mr. Content Man, you like to pull your pants down, eh?
Always, mate. I picked the Tigers too. I think they'll be too strong, but I wouldn't be surprised if Warriors can.
What's our Channel 9 game this week?
Channel 9 game is.
Tell me it's not Broncos.
Broncos versus the Sharks.
It looks like Payne Haas is going to be man of the match in this one. I can already pick it now. Payne Haas, General Lyons, man of the match.
3 weeks in a row.
No, Broncos gave him that one. It wasn't General Lyons. It was still Broncos. Got an award. I know. Got an award for losing. It's bullshit.
The Broncos faced a tough task turning around their nightmare season against an informed Sharks team looking to get back into the top four. Who would have thought the Sharks would be talking about them top four when they went 0-4? To begin the season.
I'm not talking about a top four.
They're just out there, mate.
They're
fifth, mate.
They'll be lucky if they make the 8 at the end of the year.
Oh, here we go. Broncos have lost 8 of the past 9. Most recently been outscored 94-8 with heavy defeats to the West Tigers and the Melbourne Storm.
That's a shit scoreline to have. 94-8.
They just sit 2 points ahead of last place Bulldogs now after the Bulldogs defeated the Knights last week. For the Broncos, another spine reshuffle. Brody Croft out with a sore shoulder.
I've got a sore shoulder too.
Meaning Milford will play 5-8. Darius Boyd goes back to fullback. Herbie Farnsworth shifts to centre. Richie Kenna goes to the wing. Jake Turpin returns from a knee injury. Isaac Luke is suspended. And Corey Pakes is on the bench. Tyson Gamble and Jamil Hopewadi drop out. There's two people that made the debut last week get dropped. For the Sharks, Dugan returns for his 200th game. He was supposed to play last week.
Are we sure
week.
About this? He hasn't issued his tissue burn again.
Still got to get through captain's run too. So Bryson Goodwin's dropped out. Your mate, you'll be excited about this, mate. Corin Tracy starts at halfback as Chad Townsend's out for about 6 weeks. Sorry, he done his calf, mate. So. Your boy there, Tracy.
Maybe the Sharks should have asked and see if Chad Townsend was available.
Mate, I've got a freaking sinus fucking infection. I can hardly fucking speak, mate. Nakora returns from suspension also. Rudolph goes to lock, and Jack Williams and Talakai are out.
Cronulla Sharks, go and look for Chad Townsend and see if Chad Townsend is as good as Chad Townsend and put him in. No, I'm
probably got the same hair.
Probably. And, you know, it could be you know, remember the Simpsons episode when there was that Bart's twin upstairs and it was a bit how you going, a bit more special than what Bart is. That's probably the same with Chod and Chad.
Chod and Chad.
I'm happy.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm happy that Connor Tracy gets his start.
I'll go the Sharks by plenty.
Look, yeah. I said that the Sharks probably won't make the 8, and I'm probably going to back that one. But the fact that they've decided Milford's their 5-8 and Darius Boyd's their fullback just puts another nail into Seabold's
What about that Royce? Is it Royce that comes off the bench for the Sharks? He played 23 minutes, 15 runs for 205 metres. Absolutely.
That's a run every 35 seconds.
That's a blockbuster off the bench, man. Like, his stats,
give him more minutes, Johnny Morris, stats, if you want your job next year.
His stats were enormous. First game of Saturday, Roosters.
Do you have the stats there?
Roosters versus the Titans. I could go back if you want. Roosters versus the Titans in the early game. The Roosters need the 2 points to remain in the touch with the top three. Oh, the Titans are looking for some week-to-week consistency. For the Roosters, Brett Morris, mate.
They have week-to-week consistency. Week-to-week losses is very consistent.
Brett Morris, I was actually reading NRL Physio about this injury. I can't pronounce it. I haven't written it down, but it's something to do with his spine down the bottom. It's literally go to NRL Physio.
With his coccyx?
Nah, it's not that.
It's higher than his coccyx?
It's a process of some shit, right? Have a look. Go on NRL Physio.
It's probably the process of his bowel movements.
They'll show pictures of his spine. Have a look at it. But anyways, Ryan Hall comes in for him. For the Titans, Hipgrave returns in the second row for Sam Stone.
If this is not the loosest preview you'll ever hear, it's off its head.
How much by the Roosters this week?
I don't know. I said plenty last week and they only won by 8.
They were plenty. Hey, I picked Cordner, first try scorer, 13 plus. Thank God Cordner was ruled out, got me $5 back.
Yeah, he spent $5. Hey, big spender, what's your $5 on this week?
No, I just chuck $5 on every game, first try scorer and in the margin, mate. Why not have a bit of a wager every now and then? Bet responsibly, guys. Don't take any tips from me.
No, don't take any tips from Dale. He's losing hair on the front of his head because he's not winning anything. I said last week it was going to be plenty, and I was misconstrued. Warriors actually showed up. Look, as much as we put shit on the Titans, they actually turned up and played better football last week against the Penrith. I've got to give them that. And just for that, I feel that they'll give the Roosters a run for their money. Roosters are going to be absolutely smashed a trend this week from Robbo just due to their lack of performance against the Warriors when they should have, you know, as we said, put them away by plenty.
Second game on Saturday, I'll just butt in there, mate.
I haven't even put my chip in, arsehole.
You're going to pick the Roosters anyway, so who cares? Oh. You won't pick the Titans, don't worry about that.
Are you Mr. Wax on, Wax off? You'll believe everything. Look at the shine on your head today.
So, Roosters?
Just a smidge.
So, you're backing them 1-12 then, are we?
Some shit like that.
onto the second game on Saturday. Fuck, we're loose. Where would he been out of drive? Would he been out of drink?
Had a drink, but I've had four.
Cowboys versus the Raiders. So Canberra travelled to Tansville on the verge of the top four, having
get that sinus fixed. Townsville.
Yeah, so Canberra travelled to Townsville on the verge of creeping into the top four with a heavy injury toll. So
you're gonna say horrific.
Horrific. Horrific, horrific. North Queensland continued their improvement with a gritty loss to Manly last week. Although finals appearances is out for them, Josh Henne will be determined to restore some pride in that Cowboys jersey. For the Cowboys,
which has deadly choices on it, as Brenton Bowen just told us.
He sure did. Lamulu returns at centre with Mitch Dardenner. Why they kept putting Mitch Dunn in the centre in 5'8". He goes back to the bench.
Maybe he's got some ball skills.
McLean's back. At prop, he's back from injury, so he'll partner Molo. They'll be two great forwards there. Reuben Cotter and Ben Hampton have been ruled out, but one of them will creep in now because Maguire got suspended last night and they haven't replaced him. So we'll be interested. I'm assuming Mitch Dunn will go into the starting line and they'll bring one of those two fellas onto the bench. We'll soon see. Find out. We're not Josh Henne. For the Raiders, Rapana goes to fullback because Charles Nichols Klokstad, his finger is gone. Curtis Scott returns at centre and he'll partner Kotrich on the right side there. John Bateman makes his long-awaited return from that shoulder injury and he'll be in the second row. He'll be with Hudson Young and also the mid-season recruit, Corey Hawira Naira, is on the bench ready to go for the Raiders. I've actually picked the Raiders here. I've actually liked them over the last couple of weeks. I ruled them out. I've said that were gone, but the way that the boys are turning up for each other, they're starting to get some troops back on. So the back end of the season, they could do some damage too, and obviously Hodgson won't be there, and they won't have, obviously, one of Denny's Terminator won't be there. But they'll still have, you know, a full crop of those players. And Ricky Stewart's come out and said, you know, these players, they weren't ready for first grade, but the way they're turning up for each other and having a debut, mate, credit to them, mate.
Yeah.
Credit to the boys, as they say, you know, credit to the boys.
Yeah, give big ups to the boys. No, give big ups to themselves. Yeah, look, I've picked Canberra. Yeah, not much there really any other than Canberra.
Same for me. On the blockbuster, Saturday, 7:30, Manly versus the Panthers. The Seagulls defeated the ladder-leading Parramatta Eels a few weeks ago and will be out for another ladder-leading scalpel.
Yeah, no.
For Manly, Kepi replaces Gawesky, and then
Gawesky.
Yeah, you kick Gal's back from his calf injury, mate.
Told you, mate. He was rested, mate. See, Cleary listens to me.
And so May goes back to the bench. Burton drops out, 17. Coruscant is named in reserves to return from elbow injury. They won't, most likely won't risk him anyway. For me, I've picked Manly. I picked them against.
Are they specials, are they?
They're specials,
are
mate.
You calling them specials, are you?
They beat Eels on top. They got the trend going. They need to keep playing.
See this finger? See this finger, mate? It's not going to happen.
Just put it in the I'll put it in the inbox at 9:30 or Saturday.
Oh, wait, put it in the inbox, mate. I'll put it on the page and I'll tag you in it. Dale. Mate, Penrith by 13 plus.
Oi! get amongst it. On Sunday, the Dogs versus the Eels. The Canterbury's effort has been finally rewarded, mate. They've been turning up week in, week out, and it was finally rewarded last week against that Newcastle side. Let's not talk about them.
So yeah, Barrett, I don't know that shit Newcastle side that we had. Yeah, yeah.
Barrett's put his the squad on notice. They said, avoid the wooden spoon and play for a contract in 2021. So he's put them on notice, so they've got stuff to play for now, and he wants them to keep what they did last year, keep knocking off teams so they can't make the eight.
Is he saying this whilst he's in Penrith gear?
He said it while he's in Penrith gear, mate. So
let's go put him on gardening duty for the rest of this year. What do you reckon?
I wouldn't
want to be a side against the Bulldogs in the remaining weeks, would you?
Not at all.
Well, look at you.
Look what they did last year, mate.
Look what they did last week.
Last week. It started, mate. It started for them. So Tim Laffey, another mid-season recruit, at the Dogs.
Out of his hospital and at the Dogs.
At the Dogs. So he returns to the Dogs. That's the only in for them. For the Eels, Evans returns from a calf injury. And in the Takarangi goes back to the bench. So not much changes for the Eels. You're going for Eels to pump the Dogs, I'm assuming.
Hoping so.
You're hoping so. But you want the Dogs to win so you can go further in front.
Now, just remember what I said on the radio. Do you remember what I said on the radio? About the Jennings boys both to score.
They're both to score.
And they both scored the other week.
But who cares about them?
Michael Jennings will score this week.
Signed 2 years extension too, so well done.
Yes, well, look at him, mate. He's from the Eljanko Fine Wine Distillery. get on that one.
Blackett Special.
Yeah, mate. Over at Foodworks, mate. Get it for $9.99.
$9 if you quote. If you hear me quote TMW, that's not true, guys.
You watch it. We're gonna go. You got the Eljanko Winery, mate. The boys from Time Fine and Whistle said so. Oh, it's $9.99.
Final game of the round, the Storm versus the Knights. The Newcastle Knights are a top eight team for the first time in a long time, but do they have what it takes to actually finish there?
No.
For the Storm, Sever replaces Branko Lee as he broke his hand at centre. Eisenhuth returns from a hamstring injury onto the bench in place of Paul Momorowski, who's also done his finger. They got a hand injury, a finger injury. What's going on up there at the Storm?
I'm not going to touch that one. Hands and fingers, yeah, no. I'll leave that one right alone.
For the Knights, Chris Randall, their fourth choice hooker, comes in for McCulloch, who comes in for Connor Watson, who are both gone for the season.
You're going to have to pick up a hooker from High Street up there in Newcastle sooner or later to play football, because you're going to run out of them.
We'll go to Fenny's, mate. He'll be too plenty there. Sione Mataldi has ruled out for 6 weeks as well. So Ada Guerra starts at the back row, and the new man on the bench is Phoenix Crossland and Josh King. They haven't played this season, so we're bringing the troops in, mate. We're running thin. I'm surprised that Mason Leonard didn't get a run either.
No. So they're gonna go to Fenny's, and we'll go to Fenny's this weekend and put up a now hiring sign. Newcastle Knights hooker needed.
Oh mate, they need something. So name a club that's had their fourth choice hooker over the previous years. That's ridiculous. But you know, not laughing or anything.
Who was first choice?
The first was Brayley.
Who's second choice?
Watson, and then McCulloch. You look at ACL going for the season. McCulloch ripped the hamstring off the bone, and then Watson.
Well, that won't be delicious eating anymore, will it? There's no meat on the bone.
And then Watson done his Achilles. Did you see that? Look like he's got someone just sniped at him.
Yeah, it was up a row something.
Row something up there, but yeah.
It's one of the Bulldog fans, mate. They thought he was going to run away, so they just shot him.
Horrific injuries, like to rip the hamstring, like your whole hamstring off the bone, like that. Oh, I don't know if you watched the match, but the way he's...
One year, mate, he got paid to play for Knights, and now his season is done.
He's going so well, too, so...
Wonder if Bulldogs are going to pick him up now.
Yeah, well, it's only a hamstring injury, but Watson, like, that's 12 to 18 months, like, to reattach that Achilles and...
No, it's 16, 17 weeks to return.
Yeah, but...
He'll be back in November.
Be horrific. He'll be gone by then. He might play Origin, though. Just joking. The Knights will get smashed here. I'll pick the Storm.
Oh, Mr. Head pick your ear.
Every time I ride off my team, they win. So I'm just going to keep riding them off in the wind. We've got some challenges ahead for us. But that's what happens when your first grade coach, Adam O'Brien, put his hand up. Show us your magic from
the Roosters. You end up looking like you soon. Bold at the front.
Magic from the Storm and the Roosters. Show us your magic.
You reckon Devon Pat Smith will score this week?
Probably.
That's his new nickname, Devon Patch. You look at his head now. He just should just shave the middle and become Professor.
Have you seen the headline about Smith today?
No, what's the new headline about Smith?
He's finished his career with Seabold at Brisbane. Who writes this shit, man? Seriously, how do they get paid to write this nonsense, man? He's not I'm not gonna say it, but if he finishes his career at Broncos, I'll run down the road naked, mate.
You run down Carlo Avenue at the crossroad of Luxford naked?
If he does finish at the Broncos, he's not going to be coached under Seabold, because Seabold's not winning 5 of his last 9. He hasn't even won 5 of fucking 30.
Seabold will not be at the Broncos next year. As for Cameron Smith, the smartest option for him is to retire as a one-man club.
Yeah, without a doubt. Why would you want to go? I understand why you would want to go. They're finishing up in Queensland, but you reckon he'll go again next year? He's killing it at the moment. He's like leading the Dally M's or equal with Harry Grant. So
be interesting. Will he go around again?
500. He might get the 500. He might go again after that too. What's his wine? Devon Patch wine.
Look.
Referee wine.
The professor's Grange.
Cheap.
No. that's Roosters, man. The Roosters have a.
No, I'm talking about the.
I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about something that hasn't even been caught. It's been going on for 15 years. How many players do you need at the Roosters till you realise, oh, shit, they're over the cap? Anyway, that's us this week, guys. As you probably heard, we are pretty loose. No holds barred. We love it that way. We're off our heads with sport, I guess. It's great to have sport back. We love this every week. We come together. We get away from the wives. Baby reveal. We'll leave that one for another day.
Radio special. If you want to hear us knuckleheads, mate, 8 a.m. SWAR 999. That's 99.9 on Saturday, every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yeah, this week we have Doonside as our club in focus.
Awesome. Good old Dooney there.
Rob McKinley, he was shitting bricks doing the bloody interview there.
Good old Rob, shout out to Rob, awesome bloke. He put us on to Sonali too. So,
we'll see if you put Sonali onto us. It's a great deal.
Awesome. All right, guys. Tune in. You can listen to the radio or jump onto Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.
You can turn around to lose the bugger off. We couldn't give two rats, but please tune in. Have fun. That's Dale over there with his bald patch and his Let's Go. And this is Fifey. And we are off to have a few more turkeys. Have a good evening or morning or whatever it is when you are listening to this podcast.
And that's the final whistle.